Amen. We're going to just touch a few points in Zechariah chapter 11 again tonight. And then I'll read a missionary letter to Zechariah chapter 11. Verse 12, and I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. The Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings and goodness. And I thank you that by your grace, someone once shared the gospel with us, and we saw the cleansing stream. We saw that cleansing wave. And Father, we realized that we had hope in you, dear God, that we could call upon your name, be forgiven of our sins once for all, as we sang. And Lord, being transformed and continuing to be transformed, dear God, until the day that we see you. We are experiencing that even now, Father, the work that you do by your Holy Spirit through your word for the glory of Christ. And Father, we pray that you would continue. We pray for victory in our lives, and Father, for wisdom and grace, Father, to live this Christian life. And fill my dear wife with your Spirit in the nursery tonight, and please fill me with your Spirit and help me ministering the word tonight. I do thank you for each one here, for each one with us online. Our heart is toward those who would want to be here but cannot because of health reasons and such. And oh God, would you please help them and give them grace today. Help each one. And dear God, our eyes are on you. Our hearts are towards you, Father, to do the work in our hearts that needs to be done. And Father, to provide for us that we may continue for thee, being the light here that you would want us to be. Both in our personal witness, in our witness in this city, in our witness around the world through missionaries. And God, we thank you. We praise you. And Lord, we ask, we're thankful for the word that's went forth this morning already, and how blessed we are to have a place to meet and a church family, Father, to gather with, to pray for one another, to uphold one another, to minister to one another. Father, it truly is a glory and a blessing to be in a body of local body of believers, Lord, who are endeavoring to love you and one another, and to help us to continue in that. And we do pray and ask these things in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. We looked at Zechariah chapter 11 with a prophetic view of his seeing the future re-scattering of Israel through the Roman army and such that would come. Talked about that some in verse, in the beginning verses, where we see, open thy doors, O Lebanon, and the fir tree, the cedars fall. And talked about the Roman army coming and moving south there, coming down through Lebanon, and then to Bashan, which is the northern, would be the northeastern part of Israel. And in my personal devotions in the Old Testament, I was reading through Isaiah, and oftentimes this will happen, God being in control. I'll happen to be going through something in my personal devotions that also I'm studying on and preaching, and such was the case in Isaiah 37:24. If you want to turn there for a moment, we'll see confirmation with the interpretation we found in Zechariah chapter 11:1, Isaiah 37:24, and in Isaiah 37:24. Now here we have, of course, Isaiah much earlier than Zechariah. He is prophesying of the future coming and destruction that Assyria would bring. Okay. But if you'll notice the verbiage on down, because Syria is going to come down from the north and conquer the northern kingdom Israel, And consider, we talk about enemies coming down through the north, which would be the same case with Zechariah chapter 11. Look at the verbiage used here, verse 24. By thy servants thou hast reproached the Lord. Thou hast said, he's talking about the king of Assyria, by the multitude of my chariots am I come down to the height of the mountains. Well, we talk about that mountains in Lebanon with the gorge and top there and such. I am come down to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon. I will cut down the tall cedars. What do you read in Zechariah 1? May devour thy cedars. And Zechariah goes on to say, how fir tree the cedar is fallen. Continue reading in Isaiah 37:24. I'm come up to the height of the mountains, sides of the, I will cut down the tall cedars and the choice fir trees thereof. I will enter into the height of his border, the forest. Remember we talked about the forest being the multitudes of the people and such. The forest of his Carmel. Now Carmel is northern Israel, but on the western side. Okay? So here we have kind of the same thing. Bashan would be in Zechariah there is on the eastern side, but either way, we have him coming down through Lebanon and coming to the northern border of Israel. And so we have the same verbiage that Isaiah used for the Assyrians coming south to attack, Zechariah uses for the Romans coming down. And we see that repeated there. Also I wanted just to look at as he's being sold here for the 30 pieces of silver. Of course, we believe that Messiah would come, and we've already seen in earlier chapters the Maccabean period where they were fighting Antiochus Epiphanes and such and the Grecians there. I will feed the flock of slaughter, verse 7, the poor of the flock. And so what happens is Messiah is going to come and he, of course, is going to be rejected. God says, I took unto me two staves, the one I called beauty, that's grace, the other called bands, that's bonds or unity. And I fed the flock. Now, who was that fed the flock? It's Jesus Christ. He's feeding the poor of the flock. The shepherds also I cut off, three shepherds I also cut off in 1 month. Now some commentators find this three Jewish leaders of different factions that were inter-battling among Israel while the Romans were coming down. And the unity was broken up, the bonds or the bands there, as they would come down. Then said, I will not feed you that the dieth, let it die. By the way, their soul abhorred me. What did they do with Jesus? They cast him off, did they not? So I said, I will not feed you that the dieth, let it die, that this be cut off, let it be cut off, and let the rest, everyone, eat the flesh of another, that inward battle. And I took my staff, even beauty, has the idea of grace, and cut it asunder. Of course, Jesus is what? He came with grace upon grace. He came, the law came by Moses, what? But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And what did he do? He came to gather and unify that band, Israel, together. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee? What? As a hen gathers her chicks under her wings? That's what he came to do. Gather them together. Unify them. But what did he say? And ye would not. And ye would not. So we see that because they're resisting, they're not responding to all the grace that God has poured out upon them, God says, okay, I'm letting you go. And you won't have that unity once again. That God would have given them. So he says, and I took my staff of beauty and cut it asunder. The Lord Jesus was cut off, but not for himself. Isaiah says he was cut off for our sins, was he not? That I might break my covenant which I made with all the people. It was broken in that day. So the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. Now who is he speaking of there? He's speaking of the remnant who believed. Now we know that the remnant who believed of course, were absorbed into the church. Zechariah is speaking nothing of that. He doesn't know of that right now. God has, he just knows that there's a remnant that have believed. And Jesus, what did he do? He ministered to the remnant that believed, that followed him, and the disciples and such. And yet Jewish. Remember, Jesus, when he came, he sent his disciples out. Don't go to the Gentiles anywhere. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Remember that? And so the remnant that Zechariah sees has nothing to do with the church. He doesn't know about that. He just knows there's a remnant of Israel. Not all of them have rejected Messiah. And Christ is ministering to them. And it was broken in that day. So the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. You see, you're calling, brother, what? Not many mighty, not many noble. You're not many great are called. It was the poor of the flock. It was the lesser of them. And by the way, those who did believe, what? Became poorer. Their lands were confiscated. Their lives were taken away. And so that's what came their way for receiving the Lord. And of course, we know that Judas sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. Verse 7, I'll feed you, O poor of the flock. Take unto me two staves, the beauty and bands there. Going behind here. Okay, here we go. I'll not feed you. He cuts his staff asunder. Verse 11. It was broken in that day. So the poor of the flock that waited on me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And so, verse 12, and I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. Now, I've read that we're talking about the price of a slave. You might remember that Joseph was sold for what? For 20 pieces of silver to Egypt. So 30 pieces of silver, I guess that's a fairly decent rate of inflation from the time that Joseph was saved to the time that Israel were buying slaves. So here he is, the Lord of the earth, the Messiah, is sold out for the price of a slave. And so God says, give me my price, if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price, 30 pieces of silver. The Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price. And he's ridiculing the price that they paid for him, that I was prized out of them. And I took a 30 pieces of silver and cast it to the potter in the house of the Lord. And he had cut aside my other staff. So the unity was broken. He had come to gather them, and now he's cutting that off, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. So he's comparing now the scattering and the departing that would take place among the tribes of Israel to that of when the northern tribe separated from the southern tribe. I came here to gather you. You have rejected me. Now you're going to be scattered once again. Rome's going to come down and do just that. What an amazing thing. He sells him for 30 pieces of silver, and they go and buy the potter's field. And we mentioned that in Matthew, they refer to Jeremiah. We mentioned as this 30 pieces of silver and such. And we mentioned perhaps that's Jeremiah and Zechariah in one scroll and such. And you might remember that. Also, Jeremiah might be thrown in there because he preached of the potter's field. His context was brought in there with the preaching of the potter's field. In Jeremiah 18, he was to go down to the potter's house, Jeremiah 18:2. I will cause thee to hear my words. He goes down. The potter makes a vessel out of clay, Jeremiah 18:4. The word of the Lord comes to him, Jeremiah 18:5, house of Israel. Notice he's talking about the whole house of Israel. This is the potter's clay illustration is used also in Romans 9. Okay, and they apply it to individuals. You go to Jeremiah; it does not apply to individuals. It is applied to nations. Okay, Jeremiah 18. The word of the Lord came down to me, O house of Israel. Can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? But what as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye, O house of Israel. So are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. And he said, so we see that. And so he sells it to the potter. This money goes to the potter's field. What was the potter's field? Well, the potter would make clay there. He'd make some vessels, and not all the clay was good. Some of it was, they couldn't make a vessel with it. It wasn't right. So a vessel that was started and the clay was found unworthy, it would be trash, and it would be left in a potter's field. Matter of fact, they bought the potter's field what? To bury strangers in, the scripture says. So it was a place of kind of disgrace, they're going to bury the poor and such there. That's what they purchased with the life of Christ, with the payment that they put for the life of Christ. But we think about that. One of the illustration God had made there is that, and by the way, he went on to tell Jeremiah, because they rejected him, they were like that pottery. My people have forgotten me. They have burned incense to vanity. He goes on, he says that he's going to scatter them with an east wind from the enemy. The very same thing he's going to do here now that they have rejected Messiah. But what a beautiful picture in this, that the price was given for the potter's field. You see, the law is going to pass off the scene now at the death of Christ and then his resurrection. And the law is going to join in with the witness of creation and conscience that all men are guilty before God. We have that threefold witness in Romans. Remember, creation, conscience, and what? The law. And now the law having been completed, if you look at it and you interpret that right, the law also has joined in with that witness of creation and conscience that all men are guilty. And then Christ's blood is given, what? For the potter field, for the waste. All nations on the earth have proven themselves unworthy and to be discarded of God. A picture of the potter's field. And what did Jesus do? Jesus shed his blood to pay for humanity. He shed his blood. By the way, the Jews only gave a slave's price. Jesus spilled out his whole blood for the potter's field. For the potter's field, for a wasted, discarded humanity, a humanity guilty by conscience, a humanity guilty by creation, a humanity guilty by the law, and it was all done and signed and sealed up, all guilty. And Jesus says, now I will pay my price for the potter's field. I'll pay for the world. And I thought, oh, what a picture of Christ's grace. Amen. And we have salvation through him. And then closing up this chapter, as we see that, and then we see verse 15, and the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instrument of a foolish shepherd, for lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm, upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye be utterly darkened. And this is a prophecy of the shepherd yet to come, who is the false shepherd. He's the Antichrist. He's the one who's going to be received by the world and Israel. He's going to make a peace covenant with Israel. Remember, Daniel talked about that. He's going to make that peace covenant. He's going to be received, but what? He's not a good shepherd. He is all in it for himself. Matter of fact, before it's done, he is going to sit in the temple claiming himself that he is God and claiming worship. And God is going to bring judgment upon that Antichrist. Talks about taking the judgment. Woe, he leaveth the flock. He's not there to help Israel. The sword shall be upon his arm. His arm is not there to lift up Israel. His right eye shall be utterly darkened. Judgment. His mind, his thought, his eye is not upon Israel. His eye is upon himself. And what he wants to get from them. And he is going to, in a sense, feed on the flock in that way. And the Bible speaks of God's judgment coming upon him. Jesus said in John 5:43, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. And that's going to be the Antichrist. They're going to receive him. The world is ready for such a leader. You know, I was listening to some commentators commenting, you know, decades ago that if someone would come, a world leader, and be able to bring negotiate peace in the Middle East as well as economic prosperity, the world wouldn't ask the question whether he was from heaven or hell. They wouldn't care. They wouldn't care if he was a demon or an angel, you know, if he could accomplish those things. And our world, brethren, is ripe for that right now. And ripe to receive that. And he's coming. Amen. And you and I aren't going to be here. Amen. And he's going to show up during that time of the tribulation and such, when he'll be revealed. And especially that last half of the tribulation, he'll reveal his false side, that first part, and that last part, he's gonna bring great persecution, and we are blessed to know these things, amen, and to be on the side of the Lord. And Father, thank you for these lessons from these minor prophets and from Zechariah here, looking yet into the future. Malachi, we'll do the same. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to take note, Father, to learn and to realize that we have a place now to witness of the glory and the wonderful gospel of Christ, which they knew so little about in those times. Yet we have been given that revelation. Help us by your grace to share it, proclaim it, and to live according to your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I'll read a letter or two and we'll be done for tonight. Okay, I have a letter here from the Weimers. And this is their August-September letter. Over 80 souls attended the Icelandic speaking service on Sunday. That was September 10th he's writing about. And September 10th. Yeah, September 10th. After challenging the children to reach 50 in attendance, our fellow missionary Nathan Sears had to shave his beard. Added to those 50 children were 36 adults. Amen. What a blessing it is to reach out to the community. With all the new visitors comes new opportunities to share the gospel in the homes of these precious souls. Amen. Thank you for praying for the Icelandic speaking outreach in our church and our church plant. Our English speaking ministry consists of people who have moved to Iceland from all over the world. Many of them serve alongside us, striving to reach this country in which they now live. Three of our members are currently studying Icelandic at the university with a desire to help us reach out to the community. What a blessing. Amen. Seeing their passion and commitment to serve truly blesses us. On Sundays, many of them come to church before 9 a.m. and leave later than 6 p.m. I love it. I'm truly blessed. My Icelandic adult class had 9 attend this past Sunday. One of those in attendance has been in our church for over 23 years. Praise the Lord. She drives over an hour to attend church while her two children go to our children's program. We also had a lady join our church in August from a town an hour and a half away. Her growth in the Lord encourages me. She attended some other churches in Reykjavik, closer to her home, before visiting ours for a funeral service months ago. She fell in love with our church. Thank you for praying for the Icelandic speaking and English speaking groups. Amen. That's exciting. Our building in one of the communities to whom we minister can be seen, and he has an aerial photograph there. Morningside Baptist Church from Greenville, South Carolina came with a team of 35 to help us accomplish over 60 tasks. They produced a video of the work they did here in Iceland, including testimonies. It will bless your heart to see and hear it. And he gives a link for that. I watched that. We're going to have to show that here. And just a video of them and the work project that they came. So we'll do that. They'll be here on a Sunday night here soon. Monthly reminder. In June of next year, 2024, we will be hosting a homecoming reunion to celebrate 30 years since the groundbreaking ceremony on June 26, 1994. We've had over 18 teams from our supporting churches come to help us to build since 2006. We hope to see those who have sacrificed to help us complete this project if possible. We will be dedicating the building and holding special services Tuesday, June 25th through Thursday, June 27th, 2024. The biggest celebration will be on Wednesday, June 26th, 24. To the families and churches who sacrificed to help us build, we invite you to come and be part of this special time together as we give praise to the Lord for the great things He has done. On Facebook, he gives the Facebook page for that, a good source for keeping up to date with the homecoming Iceland revival. The three former pastors, John Opferman, Rodney Colston, and Johnny Wright, are all planning to be with us in attendance. Amen. Booking flights and hotels, already recommended the B&B Hotel. He mentioned some hotels here and the link for those. Frequently receive inquiries from supporting churches asking if we have special financial needs, family or ministry. Because of this, please know that after all things we did this summer with the community outreach camp and projects, spending exceeded support by over $4,000. Thank you for praying about this need. It's always humbling to share a need. My daughter Rose is getting married in May. Thank you for praying for her. Amen. Clayton and William are here in Iceland working alongside us, for which we are so thankful. I'm thankful that all of my kids love the Lord and are serving Him in their local churches. My future son-in-law, Dylan Seichbert, and Rosa have taken leadership in my brother-in-law's church to lead the teen ministry. Amen. My son William has taken the leadership to start a teen ministry while visiting here in Iceland. William is praying about where to live and serve. We are blessed to have him in Iceland working with us as he seeks the Lord for direction. Thank you for praying for my children as they have decisions to make, seeking where to live and serve the Lord. Amen. Isn't that good? Let's pray for the Weimers. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Brother Pat, Sister Vicky, and God for their kids and for the work that you have done there through them. God, you've given them strength to continue. You've guided them through some hard trials. And Father, you have met some great needs there, Father. And souls are being saved. Lives are being changed. Father, you have allowed us to have a part in that, in prayer and in giving of that which you've given us, Father. And I thank you for the faithfulness of your church here to be involved in that. And Father, we do lift them up before you and pray that they would continue to minister there. Help these that are learning the languages to help them in the ministry. Help those the missionary team, the seers that have joined them there, Father. And what a blessing that is as well. Help their children, Father, just to know your will. It may be for some of them, Father, to serve you there. It may be you have a place, you know, on another field for them, dear God. But they're searching for your will and are serving you while waiting, dear God. And that's pleasing unto you. We pray that you, in an unmistakable way, would show them clearly your will for them and guide them, Father, exactly to where you'd have them to be. And Lord, we just pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. And I have a letter here from the Taylors, who are missionaries going to Chile. This is their September letter. Meet our son, Kaylin Hayes. So they've got the son now. And she had a difficult pregnancy. You might remember we were praying for her through that and going through that on deputation and all that. He was born September 4th, 2023 at 7:32 a.m. Hallie and I are so thankful for our little boy and we are praising God for him. The baby has been doing really well. He had some jaundice and some sleepless nights, but he has been blessed with good health. Hallie is recovering quickly. She feels well enough to be up and about and keep up with household chores. I'm so glad that there were no serious complications for either of them. On Sunday, September 17th, we took our son to church for the first time. He kept making faces during the congregational singing, but slept through the sermon. Sounds like some grown-ups. And, probably me sometimes when I was a young Christian. But I recognize that he says, slept through the sermon. I'm amazed that God has given us a baby. It is such an enormous responsibility. I recognize that I'm supposed to reflect the nature of my Heavenly Father to Callan. Although that task is daunting, I'm asking God for His grace. And those of us who've become fathers and remember that, and mothers too, you recognize that, especially with that first child, wow, what a responsibility hits you. It's like, wow, this child needs to know the Lord, and I am given stewardship over that to have a part in bringing this young one to the Lord. About that. Although that task is daunting, I'm asking God for His grace. The hours after his birth, I was holding Callan and thanking God for him. And by the way, the love of God never struck me so much as when my son was born. And I thought, wow, I know how much I love my son. My whole heart is for him, and I'm praying for him and in the difficulties that he's going through right now. And I'm thankful for him, and we're praying together. Time and again, I'm going to talk with him some more, and God's given grace. But I remember seeing Joe firstborn and thought, wow, if I understood, God's love became so big to me in a different way. It's like, wow, God, you gave your son, and wow. A few hours after birth, I was holding Callan, thanking God for him. It struck me that Jesus Christ became a man for us. Philippians 2:7. I never appreciated this fact the way I did in that moment. I held my precious, fragile newborn. Could you imagine Simeon holding the newborn child, Mary, Joseph, looking at this is the Son of God. Amazing, amazing. Furthermore, I cannot imagine giving up my son for anyone. But God sent His Son for me. Apparently, he's dealt these same things. These thoughts were refreshing reminders to me that there is hope for the world. There's a Savior who offers forgiveness and peace. There's redemption available to all, and by God's grace, Hallie and I get to proclaim that good news to our son. Amen. Departure is approaching fast, Lord willing. We will have all of Callan's vital records on hand the beginning of next week, and be able to submit his passport application. Our departure plans are contingent upon his passport. Please pray that the expedited processing will be efficient. So we will pray about that. Of course, we have already learned that they're at 100% support and have full outfit and passage fund as well. So they're waiting on that visa. So, amen. Let's pray for the Taylors. Dear God, we thank you for the Taylors, and Father, we thank you, dear God, for their health, for the health and safe delivery of this little baby boy, Callan, and dear God, we do pray for them that you would give them grace and help them leading him to you, Father, and in whatever time that you would give them, Father, we do pray that the visa would come quickly. Dear God, they've submitted the paperwork and such, and that they would be able to get to the field where you have called them, Father, and begin to minister, Lord, to have their part in souls being saved, lives being changed there in Chile. And we thank you that we can have fellowship with them according to your word and share in those fruits and those souls, Father, that will be touched by your love through their lives and by the glorious gospel, dear God, of our blessed Savior, your blessed Son. And Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And then I have a letter here from the Norrises, who are in Zambia, trying to get into Mozambique. Okay, and the missionaries, the Kleins, who have taken a church in North Powder, he is their son-in-law, and so we pray for them. Dear Pastor and praying friends, we had a great time celebrating the 4th of July. This is their August letter. I think it's the latest one I have. We had a great time celebrating the 4th of July with our fellow missionaries here in Chapata at our home with an old-fashioned barbecue. We just had a barbecue ourselves, didn't we? Amen. The fireworks show even got a little exciting when some of the fireworks fell over, causing everyone to scatter and find cover. Yeah. One of the men was hit in the leg, giving him a nice size bruise. We thank the Lord no serious injuries occurred. Amen. I also had the opportunity to participate in another medical clinic in the village. For 7 days, more than 1,100 people heard the gospel preached multiple times daily and then had their physical needs met. What a blessing. Lauren had one of her teeth pulled out in the village as well. One of the medical team members is a dentist. Amen. Our 3-day Bible school that we put out in the village was a huge success. We had 20 men come to learn more about God's Word. Isn't that good? Amen. It was such a hit that this October we are adding another whole day at the request of the students. Amen. We also will have a guest teacher coming from the States. My father-in-law, Jeff Klein. We heard that in a recent letter we read from him. They were praying about getting over there. My father-in-law, Jeff Klein, the pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church in North Powder, Oregon, and former missionary to the Mapuche people of South America. My in-law's trip here is also a surprise for our children. They will be the first family to come and visit us since getting to the field. Amen. What a blessing. Hope Bible Baptist Church is continuing to grow. We have covered many Christian basics during our midweek home Bible studies. And it is a blessing to see the people grow in their faith and knowledge of the Scriptures. Amen. During our Sunday school time, we just started a new series in the book of Acts, looking at how God grounded the new church. We are also reviewing our church constitution and bylaws for baptismal and charter services. Amen. Language acquisition. Our language studies are progressing as we are now at first and second grade level of instruction by our language helper. And my heart goes out, I tell you, my heart goes out to those missionaries. That's hard work, isn't it? And I know it does for all of us, learning a language. And we are now learning tense. Past, na, future, za, continuous, ma, object pronouns according to the 6 classes of words, and relative object pronouns, whom, which, what, when, where, and if, according to the 6 word classes. Sindidziwa, I don't know. Qdensa, how to drive. Galamoto, a car. Koma, but. Nidfana, I want. Kufunzira, to learn. And these probably don't sound anything like the actual language, all right? Thank you all for your continued support, prayers, and love. We would not be able to go first without the Lord and second without all of you. Amen. Needs, and we'll pray for some of these as we pray even now. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Taylor and Lauren, dear God, and their family, their Heavenly Father, their work and there in Zambia. And we do pray that you would open the doors in Mozambique for them to minister there. We thank you for the growth there of those at Hope Baptist Church there, Father, and for Brother Klein being able to come and minister there and preach. We pray, dear God, for safe travels and that you bless that time, dear God. And looks like the kids need iPads. Deacon and Eden need iPads for school and had to switch to video streaming for this school and need to buy them on top of their whole year's schooling for the next year. We pray that you would provide that 70% of the needs have been provided, and that we pray that you continue to provide what they need for that.
We pray for the steering rack on their SUV. It needs to be replaced along with the front tires and maintaining vehicles there with the rough terrain and such is a frequent thing and needs to be kept up or the vehicles will become inoperable, and we see that as he shared in his letter. And so we pray and help them and give them, Father, grace with that. He puts, dear God, in what you've reminded of in your word, 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. And we do pray for them, for their ability to learn quickly the language and for them to be a blessing to those that they're ministering to in Zambia. For the people of Mozambique and Zambia, God, that you'd open their hearts and provide opportunities and prepare them, Father, to receive the gospel, dear God, and provide for their needs, for their health, for their strength, for their protection. Father, keep them close to you, God, that their hearts would be right. Father, that they would be abiding in you, and that they'd not be caught in the snares of the devil, Father. Please help them in that. And they apparently have had some raised support, and they pray that would continue. God, that you would bless those churches that have taken them on, dear God. And I thank you for the giving of your people here. And we found out that we're going to be able to give our missionaries a multiplied offering again here soon, Father. Multiplied support, Father, in these this coming Christmas again. And Father, we thank you and we praise you. And Lord, we're thankful to have missionaries to support who come and been such a blessing to us, God. Help us to be missionaries here and to give and pray as you direct, dear God. And we thank you for meeting all of our needs. And Father, we pray that you'd heal up our people. We have so many that are struggling with sicknesses and struggles. And we just pray for your grace and healing where it can glorify your name, Heavenly Father. And Lord, even miracles, Father, where you would and where that would glorify your name. And Father, we put these things before you. And Lord, though you know us the best, yet you love us the most, more than we can understand. And so, Father, I thank you and I praise you for that. I thank you for this church. And just pray that our worship of you tonight and this morning and whatever times you give us is a sweet thing to your heart, dear God. And Lord, that we would recognize evermore and be humbled by your love and power, Lord, to us word. And Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Charlie, would you come and close us tonight?
We'll pick up our hymnals again and turn to 381, please. 381. Blessed Assurance. 381. Thank you. in prayer, please.
Oh, Lord, we are thankful that you are so good to us. Father, we don't deserve it. Lord, we do ask you to be with us, Lord, and that we'd just live by the fact that we know that, Lord, you are our Savior. Mm-hmm. And Lord, if anyone here or who's listening doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that they would come to know you tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I do ask that we would be the testimonies and lights that are needed in this world. Lord, we thank you for leading us to do that purpose here on earth. Be with us, Lord, as we go through the week. We thank you for all that's been preached tonight and for the opportunity to praise you for your work. We love you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.